Well, if you were here last week, we're doing a two-part series on the basics of faith. And so last week we talked about Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, that says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We said, you know, that when faith comes in, it's now. It's immediate. And, you know, faith is past tense. We have already been healed. All right? So faith is really the receipt that you already have it, you know, whenever you pray. You don't have to wait for the evidence because you have the evidence. Your faith is the evidence. And faith, according to Webster's New World Dictionary, is an unquestioning belief. So if you're questioning, you're not in faith. Any question, when's it going to happen? Why is it not happening? I mean, why, when, where, how, when, you know, how come? All these questions are questions. And according to the dictionary, if you're in question, you're not in faith, because faith is an unquestioning belief. So when you have faith, you have it now. Now faith is. Then we went on to Hebrews 11:6. It says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And basically it takes faith to be saved. If you don't have faith, you can't be saved. And the same faith it takes to be saved is the same faith it takes to be healed or to be set free or the faith for finances. It's the same faith. Because I know people say, well, you know, I just don't know how to believe for that. Well, if you can believe for your salvation, you can believe for your healing. It's the same faith. Now, tonight we're going to start in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, reading from the New King James, Romans 10, 17. And it says this, Romans 10, 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So this is how faith comes, by hearing. Now, my grandfather always read it like this. He says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I mean, he emphasizes that we have to keep hearing. Now, not by having heard the word, but by continuing to hear the word. Now, my grandfather says that the Greek word here for hearing denotes continuous action. I mean, you continue to hear the word. And, you know, part of the problem is we don't continue to hear the word. In fact, I know sometimes whenever people come to a church service, and especially like, you know, tonight we're preaching on the basics here that a lot of folks already have down. They say, "Well, I already know that. You know, I already got that." No, you have to continue to hear the word of God. Now, specifically, if you're trying to build your faith, you have to hear what the word of God says about faith. That's how you build your faith, by continue to hear and to hear and to hear and to hear. Now, you know, just because you're in the room doesn't mean you hear. I mean, you can be in the same room with somebody, and just because someone's talking doesn't mean you hear them. How many times have you had a conversation with someone? Now, you know, if you're on the phone, you can't see them unless you're doing some kind of video conferencing or something like that, or FaceTime or whatever. You know, but a lot of times whenever you're in the same room and you're talking, this happens a lot with husbands and wives. You know, you're talking and you can tell that they're doing something else and they're not really listening. Now, I understand that, you know, some of us are multitaskers. We can listen and do other things, but a lot of us are not, especially when we're trying to say something important. You know, now, sometimes the reason is you don't have much important things to say anyway, so that's why they're not listening to you, because they don't think you have anything important to say. But, I don't know how many times a husband or wife says, you know, "Are you hearing me?" Well, of course, I'm right next to you. Yeah, but are you actually hearing what I said? I mean, I don't know how many times that I've told my wife before about something, you know, that I'm going to be doing, and then it comes up to the point, and, you know, I said, "Well, you know, remember, I'm leaving on Friday." "Well, you never told me that." "Yeah, I told you that three times. I just guessed the three times I told you, you didn't think it was that important, so you didn't hear me. But now whenever you found out I'm actually leaving, now it's important." Well, you know, you know, so sometimes we actually have to listen. So we can actually be here in the room and not really hear. You know, because we have, now, there are some times, too, that we're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on, and we're just not hearing it. But we have to continue to hear. Now, also, that we need to understand that when this was written, Romans 10, 17 was written, it was a different day and age. All right? You know, in the day and age that we live in, that most people have the Bible on their phone or some kind of device that they carry on a daily basis. I mean, pretty much if you see me anytime, you know, in my life, I carry two Bibles, one on my phone, one on my iPad. All right, because I usually have both devices on me. Both of the devices have a Bible program. My iPad has multiple Bible programs, but I only primarily use one. It's still called the free one. You know, and I have multiple translations. In fact, I have so many translations. If I want to read the Bible in Chinese, I can read the Bible in Chinese. I just can't understand the Bible in Chinese because I don't know Chinese. But I can still read it. Just like, you know, I can read the Greek Bible, but it doesn't really speak to me. It might speak to me if I knew Greek. Now, some people pretend they know Greek. You know, they learn a few Greek words, but they don't really know Greek. They know what somebody says. They know the English meaning of that Greek word. They don't know Greek. You know, so, but I always use the free edition of the Bible because it's free. And so why should I pay for something that's free? Now, my mom uses some kind of other edition of the Bible where she actually has to pay for every single, you know, different version. I'm like, why should I do that? He goes, well, yeah, but there's this version on your Bible. It's not on the free one. I said, well, wait a few years, it'll be on the free one. That's just the way it is, you know. I mean, I believe it. If you can find it free, why pay for it? So anyway, but back in the day that the Bible was written, you realize the only time that they actually heard the word was when someone ministered. I mean, people didn't carry the Bible with them. And even if you had an opportunity to have a few scrolls, you'd have to have a wheelbarrow to carry your scrolls. All right, so, you know, it's not like they could go to the library and read the Bible. So usually the only time that they could actually, you know, hear the word was when someone ministered the word. And you realize the Bible was just being written. I mean, you know, they might have had the Old Testament, but then in a part of the New Testament, but not everybody had it. And you realize, you know, this is Romans, so the book of Romans was actually written to the church at Rome. You realize the people there in Rome, they may or may not have had 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you know, Acts. I mean, you know, they might not have that. And so really, they had to depend upon somebody ministering the word to them in order to hear. But we have the opportunity not only to hear the word, but to read the word for ourselves. You know, so you don't have an excuse, well, I'm waiting for someone to come minister so I can hear the word. You don't have to wait for church on Sunday or Wednesday. You know, you don't have to wait to go to a special meeting to hear the word. You can read the word. Not only that, we have YouTube, you know, you have podcasts, we have access to the word all over the place. Now, just because you hear the word doesn't mean it's the right word. And that's something else, you know, if you want to learn faith, you have to hear faith. You know, and if you are going to go to you know, I know of a church one time that there's 52 weeks in a year, right? Well, I think 45 of them, they preached on finances. And so the other few weeks, you know, I think actually was Christmas, Easter, you know, Mother's Day, those kind of special occasions and things. I mean, you know, well, at that church, they weren't giving you the whole word. They might have been preaching part of the word, but not the whole word. And it's important to hear the word. And it's important to rightly divide the word. And, you know, and I have found out just because somebody is really good on one topic and they're, you know, they hit it good doesn't mean that they're going to hit it good on every topic. There are some people that have some great, you know, teachings on faith, and you look at some other teachings, not too good. You know, but faith cometh by hearing faith. Now, my grandfather said the number one reason why people do not get healed or do not get their needs met is because they don't know the word. Well, you don't know, you can't know something that you don't hear. You have to continue to hear the word. Now, I have actually found out that fourth term here at RAM, at the Bible College, I teach a class, it's Faith Library 2, and actually I'm teaching the same notes that I'm teaching here. I go all through the Bible and look at different instances of faith, and you know, we talk about the basic stuff, and then we talk about, you know, we see different people being healed, different examples. And I found out the more I teach on faith, the more it builds my personal faith up as well. You know, because as I'm teaching the word, I'm continuing to hear the word. And I don't know how many times that I go to teach and I see something new. I teach it differently than I've even seen it before. And in fact, you know, I've preached this a couple of times now, but you know, the receipt thing, I just got that the other day. About faith is a receipt. You know, when we have something, we get a receipt. But if faith is, you know, the evidence, that's the receipt that we already have it. Whether we see, before we see it or not, doesn't matter. We have the receipt. We can prove it's ours. You know, and so, you know, so many times when we continue to hear the word, we continue to see things over and over again. But it's important to hear the word and to hear the word and to hear the word and to hear the word. It doesn't matter that you've heard that message 100 times or 1,000 times. I will go on record to tell you that I probably have heard more faith messages than anybody else I even know. You know, I've heard my grandfather minister on faith many, many, many times. I've heard my dad minister on faith. I've heard myself minister on faith. I've heard other ministers minister on faith, because primarily the subject of faith is primarily the main subject that we minister here at Rhema. That's why that we put faith on top of our building. That's why we put faith on, you know, faith is our logo. Do you realize that the logo for this ministry is a faith shield? You know, and we teach on faith. And you know, we understand that my grandfather got the mandate to go teach my people faith. And that's the same mandate that we give our students to go teach faith to this generation. Now, the message never changes. Sometimes the way that we deliver the message does. You know, because you realize that people today think differently and act differently than they did in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. And, you know, I've often, you know, sometimes that we're trying to teach an 8-track tape to an MP3 generation. Do you realize if I was to bring an 8-track tape up here, that most people don't even know what an 8-track tape is or what you do with it? You know, the joke on Facebook, I saw, you know, a joke the other day, and you know, I'm hoping this didn't really happen. And this guy says, well, I bought an older used car, and I found out that it had an iPod charger, you know, in it, and I've been sliding it in, and it's been scratching up in the front of my iPod because they were putting it in a cassette deck, you know. You know, I hope that's a joke, but probably did happen to somebody that, you know, that's why they started making the you know, the iPhones a little bigger so they wouldn't fit in your cassette deck anymore. Because the older ones, you know, fit in the cassette deck. You know, a lot of you probably have seen a cassette tape, because Christians who listen to cassette tapes nowadays. I don't know why. We actually still, I mean, we don't, we have closed up cassettes that people like go crazy to buy them. I don't know why, you know, because it's hard to find a cassette player. And in fact, the other day, actually, I had to go to Walmart to buy a CD player, and they only had a couple. Do you realize CDs, I mean, used to be that was what everybody had. But now people don't have anything. We have air. In fact, I guess we walk in more faith, because we have to have faith that we actually have that on our phone or on our device or whatever, that message is really there, because we don't see it. But we believe it's there. Now, sometimes if we do a search for it, we might find and it says it there, but you know, have you ever found the program on your computer or whatever and you pushed it didn't work? So how do you know it's there? You probably don't really know it's there until you actually push it and it works. And then sometimes you push the button and you know, it says it's playing, but you don't hear it. Well, is that going to do you any good? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. If you can't hear it, it's not doing you no good. You know, but sometimes, you know, because a switch is pushed, or you have it in mute mode, or whatever, and things like that. But faith cometh by hearing, but it also comes by reading the word. We have to get the word somehow. You know, and, you know, I know many people that have read books, and then later on, someone makes that book into a movie, and they go watch the movie, and the movie wasn't as good as the book. Because, you know, whenever you read something, you actually picture it in your own mind. And everyone's mind is different. And I found that people in Hollywood have a weird mind sometimes. You know, and their mind isn't the same as your mind. And whenever you see the movie, say, it was okay, but it didn't really, you know, do it justice or whatever, you know. And I know, you know, some of the movies that have come out about Jesus, people have complained because of the scene, you know, where he took the 39 stripes on his back. It was too bloody for them, too gory. And in fact, actually, to be honest, that there's been no movie that's actually probably as bloody and gory as what really happened. You know, it was actually worse. You know, and to think about it, you know, that's actually a pretty important moment in the movie about Jesus. Because it was at that moment that we were healed. And it might have been bloody and gory, but what you need to understand is that Jesus took the sacrifice for you. That he suffered in pain and agony so that you didn't have to. And by his stripes, we were healed. And, you know, and sometimes when you see something like that, you see the picture like that, you're thinking, you know what? Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, but faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and continuing to hear some more. You know, my grandfather, from the day he started preaching to the day he passed away, he taught on faith over and over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, so much so that many times, some of the meetings, especially in the morning sessions, a lot of times that we actually would get a jump, you know, on the road. We're counting the offering during service, and we have it piped in, and I could actually quote word for word what he was going to say before he said it, because I knew the message that much. But you know what? Just because you can quote word for word doesn't mean it's really, you know, takes hold. Because I don't know how many people wake up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And then 3 minutes later, they're griping and complaining to everybody. So they're not, they're saying something they don't believe. And there are a lot of people that are talking faith because they read it in a book, but they don't believe it. You got to get it on the inside. And then my grandfather always talks about many people, we hear faith, and we hear faith, and we hear faith, you know, and you know, we feed our faith, but we're spiritually fat because we never exercised it. It's one thing to hear, and another thing to be a doer of God's word, to exercise our faith by using our faith. You know, just because we hear something, or, you know, you could do all the research in the world about a sport. You know, we'll pick basketball. Basketball season starting. I mean, you can get on the internet. You can watch videos. You can watch classic games. You can watch Michael Jordan play. You know, you can read all about it. Watch everything. That doesn't make you a good basketball player. You're never going to learn to play basketball until you get out on the court. And when you first get on the court, you might have read everything. You might know all the rules. You might know all the fouls. You might even know all the hand movements that the referees, you know, have, but that's not going to do you any good until you get on the court and begin to put those things into practice. And many people, we hear and we hear and we hear, but we never get on the court. We never use our faith. We have to use our faith. And how do we do it? We just believe. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, once again, reading from the New King James, because that's what most people do read from. I like to read from the New Living Translation sometimes, but, you know, Then actually in Mark chapter 11, I like to read from the King James because that's how I learned it. So sometimes when you read from a different translation that you have to say it differently. All right, but Mark chapter 11, starting with verse 22, and I always emphasize verse 22, probably more than any other minister I've ever heard, because I think verse 22 is, I know the way my grandfather always thought, and my grandfather always, in life, there's like common knowledge that people have, like common sense, but in the world that we live in, we don't have a lot of common sense. People don't think properly. And so he always thought, that of course you're believing in God. But I have to emphasize that now because many people don't realize that we're supposed to put our faith in God. Mark 11, 22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And my grandfather always thought, well, that was pretty, that's pretty no duh. Everybody knows that. But we live in a generation where more people are trying to put their faith in the minister. They're trying to put their faith into pastor so-and-so or brother so-and-so, or they're trying to put their faith into their parents or somebody else who talked about faith. But the Bible says to have faith in God. We have to put our trust in him. And you realize that when you're putting your faith in God, that God cannot and will not fail. People fail sometimes. Not everyone's perfect, not even me. And I don't want to bust your bubble, but not even Brother Hagin. He wasn't perfect. In fact, I saw him yell at his TV, I don't know how many times, get a little angry. Dallas Cowboys didn't do very good. But thank God they rebounded this past weekend. They beat the Eagles, and now they're on a one-game winning streak. And I guarantee you, they will not lose this week. I'm going to put my money on it. They're not going to lose this week. They have a bye. So they won't lose, guaranteed. All right, so if you want to bet on the Cowboys this week, to not lose. All right? But have faith in God. We put our faith in God, in his power, in his authority. And God cannot and will not fail. Now, some translations say have the faith of God. And like I said, I prayed one day and asked the Lord to how do I explain the faith of God? Because how do you explain that? And he took me back to the Old Testament, back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, where it says the earth was null and void, and God said, let there be light. And lo and behold, there was light. Why was there light? Because God said it. When God says anything, it happens. Now, this is who we're putting our faith in. All right? And, I have to point out, today, because like I said, people have uncommon sense, that God did not give a offering. Genesis 1 says nothing about God giving an offering. He didn't say, well, God said, let there be light, and then he gave a $1,000 faith vow to himself. And then the light was on. You understand, when God said, let there be light, he didn't fast and pray. He didn't even pray fast. In fact, God didn't even pray. Do you realize that he didn't even pray? All he did was he said it. He spoke into existence. He spoke the word, and the light came on. And you realize that light literally changed your world. Because think about, I'm going to give you, coming up to church today, for whatever reason, the parking lots are not on. So it's a little dark out there. Do you realize, think about if we lived in this whole world and we didn't have the sun. So you couldn't have a sunshiny day. When God said, let there be light, that changed your world. It was a world changer. It's the first thing he created was light. There was light because God said it. He didn't pray. He didn't go on a fast. He didn't fast and pray. He didn't give an offering. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to give an offering. It's a bad thing to pray. It's a bad thing to fast. I'm just saying, in this instance, all we have to do is speak. Speak. And so Jesus was saying, you need to have the same kind of faith that God had. And then he began to talk about speaking to your mountain. And the first words out of his mouth was, "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain." Now, that's very important that he says those words, "whoever." Because there's many people that have got the theology was this scripture was only for the disciples. And after the disciples died, it was for nobody else. But Jesus was very specific when he said the word "whoever." He doesn't say you 12 and no more. Or he doesn't say you 11 and Judas, you're out on this one. You're not going to be doing anything. He doesn't say anything. He says "whoever says." Well, whoever includes you. You're a whoever. He says, "whoever says to this mountain." So that "whoever" is a clause meaning you. If you say to this mountain, now he was pointing to a natural mountain. He says, "whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, it says that if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's pretty much impossible. I mean, I don't know, I live 50 years, I've never seen a mountain get uprooted and get thrown into the sea. You know, I mean, that's impossible. And the reason that Jesus said that, what he was trying to say is the things that are impossible to man are possible to God. Which he says in Luke 18:27. You know, it might look impossible. Your mountain might seem impossible. But remember, we're putting our faith in God. And my dad has a teaching out there. You know, man's impossibility, God's possibility. With God, all things are possible. Why are they possible? Because I believe. Now, that's my faith. My faith is believing. I believe that when I speak to my mountain, and my mountain is not going to, you know, I don't really have problems with natural mountains. You know, maybe if I lived in the Lewis and Clark days, I was just in St. Louis, maybe I would have trouble when I got to the Rockies having some little mountain problems. But my problems are not literal mountains. You know, they're financial mountains. They're physical mountains, meaning physical healing. You know, and so we have to speak to our mountains. And everyone's mountain's different. Your mountain might be different than my mountain. But the point is, you can speak to whatever mountain. And you command it to leave. To get out of there. To cease existing. To be uprooted. I guess you can just pray that your sickness will go. And that you just go up to the neighbor's house or something like that. And then go pray for them. You know, just because everybody else is getting the flu doesn't mean you have to too. Now, you know, I think it's actually pretty good to speak to your mountain before, before it even bothers you. You know, my mom, every day, she speaks and she says that cancer cannot live in her body. Do you realize that our family, doesn't really have a history of cancer in our family? You know, but it doesn't matter. That doesn't stop her from speaking, that. Now, I've said that on a number of occasions, but I'm not as good as my mom. My mom every day speaks that. You know, sometimes we need to speak things we don't want. We need to speak them out of existence. You know, maybe you need to speak that poverty cannot live, in your house anymore. You know, and sometimes poverty is not just not having enough money, but it's a mentality we have. That we think we don't have enough money. But, you know, it's hard not to have enough of anything when we know we serve a God that's more than enough. If our God's more than enough, it doesn't matter whether we have enough because our God does. But, you know, if you don't know anything about faith, you can't believe. But if you know, see, I know, first of all, you have to know your God loves you. He cares about you. You know, because I just have this attitude that I'm God's favorite. And I realize that you're his favorite too, because God doesn't have favorites. But I pretend he's my favorite, and you should pretend he's your favorite. That you're his favorite. Because when you can think of that mentality, that you realize that God will answer everything that you pray. Because God loves you that much. You know, and the reason we can speak to a mountain is because of God. Now it says, when we speak, it says, and does not doubt in his heart. Because many people are speaking things, but they doubt it when they're speaking. They don't really think it's going to happen. They would like it to happen, but that's when they're over in hope and not in faith. See, faith believes, when you speak, you literally believe. There is nobody that can tell you any different. I don't care what anybody says. If you believe, whatever anybody else says, it doesn't matter because, you know, they might as well be like Charlie Brown, you know, doesn't matter. That's what their words sound like. If you know the word, it doesn't matter what their words sound like. I don't care what anybody else says. It doesn't matter. They say, well, that would be hard. No. This is God we're talking about. This is not me. This is not my pastor. This is God. My faith is in God. And if God cannot make it come to pass, then I don't know who can. My faith is in God. I even have it on my money. In God, we trust. Amen. Which is kind of like Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Now, Mark 11:22 is my favorite scripture in the Bible. It's a scripture that I live my life on because I know that no matter what I'm going through, no matter how bad it is, that I can trust God and I can get through it every time. When it seems impossible, when it seems like there is no way out, when it seems like everything's caving in, my faith is in God. You know, my grandfather always says that God says it. I believe it, and that settles it. But if I don't know what God says, if I don't hear the word, if I don't know the word, if I don't continue to hear the word, I don't know what God's saying. You know, many people, I've heard, well, they wish God would speak a word to them whenever they have plenty of words from God. You know, and most of the words, I mean, right here, I have pink, I have green, and I have yellow words, plus I just have words that I haven't even highlighted yet, which is still good. Do you realize that sometimes people think, well, only the good words are the ones you highlighted? No, there are some really good words that I haven't highlighted yet. I haven't got around to highlighting yet, you know, and some people want to know, well, Craig, what is your system? Why is this pink and why is it green and why? I don't know. I just kind of make it up as I go along. I don't have a highlighting system. A lot of times I'll highlight a bunch of stuff in yellow and when I'm preaching a message, sometimes I'll change it because I want to emphasize one scripture and I'll make that green or make that pink because I want to emphasize that scripture. And there's sometimes later on, I'll actually rechange it and highlight another scripture, pink or green. So it doesn't matter that it's pink, green, yellow. What matters is that I know the word. You know, and I think if some people spend as much time, you know, highlighting the word, actually knowing the word that they're trying to highlight. I know one person that got a brand new Bible, and the first thing they did was took their Bible and started highlighting everything. You know, they weren't reading it. They were taking their old Bible, and they were going through the old Bible highlighting it. You know, maybe you should read what you're highlighting when you're highlighting it. You know, there's probably a reason. You know, and really, if you're highlighting the scripture because there's no reason, then why highlight it? The main thing is believe God. Believe God. I'm running out of time. We'll go to Mark 11:24 here. And like I said, you can't get everything on faith in two sermons. You know, my grandfather preached on it for, you know, 50-something years or however many years he preached on it. And then Mark 11:24 says this. He says, therefore, I say to you, what things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. What I want to point out is that you believe that you receive them when you pray. Not when you have them, because faith is the evidence. When you pray, you believe that you receive them when you pray. That means really the time to shout about something is when you pray. Because as soon as you ask for that. You already got the receipt. It already belongs to you. You could even take it back to Walmart because it's yours. You have the receipt. It belongs to you. Or you have the title. It belongs to you. When you pray. Not when it comes. When you pray. Because faith is an unquestioning belief. You believe that you have it. Yeah, but that's a big mountain and it has to move and all these kind of things. I don't care what has to happen. And notice, nowhere in the word does it say you need to move your mountain. It says, trust God. See, it only says, the only thing we have to do is believe, is say it and believe it and have it. That's our key. Three words. Say it with your mouth, believe in your heart, and have what you say. Now, God has the hard part. He has to bring it to pass. And the problem is too many times people are trying to tell God how to bring it to pass or figure out how to bring it to pass. I don't care how he brings it to pass. I never tell God how to bring anything to pass. I just let go and let God. That's his responsibility. My responsibility is to put my faith in God, say it with my mouth, believe it in my heart, and have it. That's my responsibility. It's his responsibility to figure out how it's going to happen. I don't have to show my work. God does the work. You know, well, how does that happen? I don't know. I don't care. See, that's the thing. There's so many scientists trying to figure out, you know, how this world started and existed, you know, what's going on, where we came from, and all these kind of things. I don't really care. The fact, I'm here. I showed up somehow, some way. So it doesn't matter where I came from, who my relatives are, you know, whatever. The only thing I do know, I mean, obviously I know, you know, my close relatives and where I came from there. I know I'm related to Noah, and I know I'm related to Adam. And so are you. Because you realize everyone had to be related to Adam and Eve. And then everybody else was destroyed except for Noah's family. So you have to be related to Noah. Now, I don't know why some people are darker than others. I don't know. I don't care. We're all here. It's not my responsibility to know why. I just love you, everybody. Wherever they came from doesn't matter. What their heritage is, I don't matter. I don't care whether they're Greek, Hebrew. You know, I don't care what your heritage is. Because, you know, when you come to God, you become a child of God. It doesn't matter what your former family was, what you used to be. Because I've heard people say, well, that's my German temper, or that's this. Or, I mean, well, you're not German. You're a child of God. You know, it doesn't matter what my heritage is. I got a lot of mixed up heritage. And, you know, I know a little bit of it. Maybe I should do the DNA thing. I might find out that I'm not what I think I am. So, but it doesn't really matter what I am, because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And that's all that really matters. That's all that really matters. And I know that I can trust God, that I can ask him, that I can put my faith in him. And I can have what I say. Because God gives me that promise. So that's the faith of God. That's being a doer of the word. Amen? Well, like I said, two messages, you can't cover faith, especially when it's hour of power. You know, we need about 3 hours of power for each message. Maybe we can get halfway through that, but praise God, just a kind of reminder last 2 weeks, you know, to have faith. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, for your word. And Father, help us to know what the word says, and help us to continue to hear the word, continue to read the word, continue to have faith, and help us understand that no matter what we're going through, we can have faith in God. We can say it with our mouth. We can believe in our heart. We can have what we say. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.